Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Go to our website and get a copy of the Companion Bible there and the appendices of the Companion Bible. And all these radio programs are on there for free to play or download. And we hope that you go back and listen with an open Bible and go back and search and see whether these things be so. And one of the things we want to encourage you is to be a Bible reader. Read cover to cover through the Scriptures from start to finish. Start in Genesis, go through Revelation. If you've never done it before, you really need to start become familiar with God's Word. And every one of you listening to the sound of my voice, if you say you're a believer in Christ, you should be skillful in the Word of God. And you have the tools available. We have our English Bibles with very helpful things for the text itself, for the Hebrew and Greek. As you in the Companion Bible, I think you can carry around in one hand everything you'll possibly need to get started. So anyway, today we're in our topic called the Middle Wall Partition, and this is part two of the program. Now, we read at the end of last program, Ephesians 2, where Paul talked about the middle wall of partition being abolished. And what that was a reference to is in the temple, in the book of Acts, imagine Peter after Cornelius. Remember when Peter went to Cornelius' home and he preached to him, and as he was preaching to him, it says the Holy Spirit fell upon him and they were amazed. And in Acts 11, the Jews got together and said, well, it looks like God has granted the Gentiles repentance unto life. Now, they were believers. The Gentiles were saved without circumcision. And they were now part of that group of believers in the book of Acts. However, when Peter went up to the temple and, say, Cornelius walked with him, Cornelius could only go so far still. I mean, the middle wall was still up if they both went to the temple and worship, because there was this middle wall, and it said this on the wall. And you can read this in Josephus and other places, but it said, "No one being a foreigner may enter within the enclosure around the holy place. Whoever is apprehended will himself be to blame for his death, which will certainly follow." And this is from a slab of stone discovered at Jerusalem. And this is what it said on there. And so a Gentile may have worshipped the true God, but he can go no farther. Only a Jew can do that. And this was the middle wall partition. And this feeling and this situation was during the whole book of Acts. From the time of Abraham till the end of Acts, we find the Jew first is the principle by which God deals with men. Israel was to be a priestly nation, and as such was to be separate and distinct from all others. The reason God dealt with the Jew first was that up to the time of Abraham, the nations had so dismally failed that God had to give them up. And for further information, read Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. During the earthly ministry of our Lord, he called the Gentiles dogs. He came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So, the lost sheep of the house of Israel were to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and were not to go into the way of the Samaritans or the Gentiles. He said, the Lord said, "As I have been sent, so send I you," to his apostles. In the great sermon of Peter at Pentecost, the only people addressed were, as to quote Acts 2, "Ye men of Judea, ye men of Israel, and all the house of Israel." Among the 3,000 that were added that day, there was not a single Gentile. Notice that it says added, not that a new church was formed. The church of God had its beginning with the calling of the 12. Then we have mention of 70, 120, and finally 500 who were believers before Pentecost. At Acts 10, Peter did not know anything about a church in which Jew and Gentile were one in Christ. Did you hear that? Peter knew nothing about a church where Jew and Gentile are one in Christ. He would have called Cornelius a dog if it had not been for his vision at Joppa. The tradition that the church began at Pentecost must have been started after the time of Peter. They of the circumcision, to quote Scripture here, they of the circumcision were astonished that on the Gentiles the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out. Chapter 10. According to that record, it was impossible that any Gentile could have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. The church at Jerusalem was just as ignorant of any church being at Pentecost, for they said to Peter, "Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and did eat with them." Then finally the Gentiles, finally the church, this Jewish church, recognizes that to the Gentiles, God granted them repentance unto life. The preaching of Peter at the house of Cornelius was to open the door of the kingdom of the Gentiles and prepare the way for the Apostle Paul and his message. There is no record that Peter ever again preached to a Gentile, or that any of the 12 ever did. The absolute refusal of the churches to recognize these plain facts is the reason for so much confusion today. They will take tradition rather than God's word. And this is really the blight on the modern church. Study, if you will, all the epistles written during the Acts period, and you will find the same principle all through. And that principle is the Jew first. Even in Romans, the last epistle to be written before the close of Acts, we find the principle very pronounced. There we find the gospel to the Jew first in Romans 1:16, judgment to the Jew first, Romans 2:9, blessing to the Jew first, Romans 2:10, advantage and profit pertain to the Jew, Romans 3:1 and 2. The Jews held yet to their old position so much that the apostle chided them for it, Romans 3:29. In the diagram, I'm going to have to make this available to you, but we've diagrammed Romans 9:3 through 5, where we listed the items that are listed to the Jew. In Romans 9, and I'm going to read Romans 9, verses 3 to 5, and then we'll talk about how we'll make this diagram available to you. But in Romans 9, 3 through 5, we read this. Paul says, in verse 3, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Now here are the things it says about Israel according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. That's Romans 9, 3 to 5. These are items that Paul enumerates that belong to the Jew exclusively according to the flesh. Paul could call them brethren. They were Israelites, a chosen people. They have the sole right of sonship. The glory of God shone through them as he blessed them among the nations. To them only were given the covenants and the law. They were the only ones who had a right to do service for God. Nowhere before Acts 28:28 is there any record of a Gentile preaching, teaching, or doing any other service in the church. That was for the Jew only. The great difference between Jew and Gentile was not so much race as it was promises. It was the Jews who could speak of the fathers, and finally, according to the flesh, the Messiah was of and to the Jews. What a long list of advantages they had. On the other hand, look at the record against the Gentiles. First, they were in the flesh. Of course, that was the natural state of both Jew and Gentile, but the latter had little hope of escaping it. They were without Christ. Now, this is found in Ephesians 2:11 and 12. It says regarding the Gentiles, they were Gentiles in the flesh, and they were without Christ, for they did not... For did not the scripture say, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people, the Jews, from their sins"? In relation to Israel, they were just aliens. As to covenants of promise, they were complete strangers. Now again, read Ephesians 2:11 and 12. They had nothing in them. They had no hope. Therefore, they had no hope, and since God had given them up, they were without God, and worst of all, they were in the world. That is a black picture for the Gentiles. Just remember that this is the picture of the Gentiles from Abraham through the book of Acts, Acts 28. Now, this middle wall is broken down, as we read in Ephesians 2 yesterday. Although from Acts 10 to 28 there was a chance for the Gentile to be grafted in and receive blessings through the Jew, the middle wall was still there, and so there were two gospels, two faiths, and two sets of apostles. But soon after Acts 28:28, we find a great change. Ephesians was the first epistle written after Acts 28:28 crisis, and immediately we find a very different message. Let us just skim over Ephesians 2:14, 18. Christ is our peace. He has made both Jew and Gentile one. The middle wall is broken down. Distinctive ordinances of the Jews, such as water baptism, holy days, Lord's Supper, or Passover, are now abolished. He now creates of the two one new man. That is what makes the peace, so that he might reconcile the both unto God in one body. The enmity is slain. Peace is preached. Through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Anyone who will try to introduce ordinances into the church today is only trying to rebuild the wall of partition. There will certainly be terrible judgment for anyone who works against the unity and the peace of God's people by so doing. And no, I'm not saying that they're lost, but there will be loss. Now remember this. If you try to reintroduce ordinances into the church today, what you're doing is rebuilding the middle wall of partition. When Paul says in Ephesians 4 that we're to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, people quote that all the time, talk about unity. But the unity there is the unity that was made in Ephesians. And so to keep the unity of the Spirit today means do not erect any barriers of a previous dispensation. Don't erect practices that were right in the time when Jew and Gentile were separated. Today we must recognize that there is one body of which Christ is the head, and ordinances are completely eliminated. And to bring those ordinances back into the body of Christ is only to bring up the middle wall and destroy the unity of the Spirit. And it's the unity the Spirit has made. This new position of the Jew and Gentile one body is summed up in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. We read there that the Gentiles should be joint heirs, first of all, and secondly, a joint body, thirdly, joint partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof Paul was made a minister. This is the charter of the church, which is his body. The dispensation of the mystery, which was hid in God from ages and generations, this is what God revealed through Paul. Read the prison epistles. This is your homework. I want you to read the prison epistles. Read Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 2 Timothy. They're going to furnish you with these details. And remember, as we said before on this program, when you read these things, believe them. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you want the hope? Read Ephesians, read Philippians, Colossians, and 2 Timothy. Well, this will conclude our little series on the middle wall partition. If you have any questions, you can go to our website at crossandthrone.com. Our phone number, 847-312-4676. You can go to our website and listen to these programs again. And you can download them or just play them, and please do that with an open Bible. On our website also, we have the Companion Bible and the Companion Bible Appendices available. We can't give those away for free, but we recommend that you get those. And I believe we have them pretty cheap. The price on there includes our shipping. And but it's a tool you must have to study the Scriptures. If you want to support this program, please consider doing so to keep it on the air, to get the gospel out, and this teaching of Paul concerning the mystery. Until next time, remember this, the closer you draw near to Christ, as he's revealed in the Word, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.